welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And today is December 1st, 2017. And on today's show, we are talking about A Course in Miracles. And by the way, I just want to slip in a little note here. You know, the Friday Morning Show, usually we do have rotating hosts, etc. Well, I think we're going to have some more shakeups in the month of December and possibly into 2018. We're still talking about that. And of course, I'm still going to be here the first and third Fridays of the month. But we're just going to see what else might slip into those other two slots. So I just want you to know, please keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio, especially on Fridays for the Friday Morning Show, because we'll have something wonderful for you. But on today's show, we are talking about A Course in Miracles, and my guest is author Susan Dugan. And we are going to be looking at and discussing the final lessons in the ACIM workbook for students. And specifically, if you've done these lessons, you may realize that the last 4 to 5 days, I can't remember now, I think it's, lesson 61 through 65, they're actually the same lesson. And it's this holy instant, would I give to you? And it's a little bit longer than that. But in any case, we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about what's called the epilogue that follows those particular lessons. So I'm glad that you're here today. And if you'd also like to join us over on Facebook, you can do that by going to 12radio.com. And when you do that, you'll see a link that says, I want to say Facebook, but no, it doesn't say that. It says chat. And when you click on that chat link, it will take you to Facebook, where we do have a private group where you can join us by, and you can ask questions or you can make comments. So if you'd like to do that during the show, that would be wonderful. So let's get Susan on the air. And I know many of you know her. She joins me every single month, and she has for several years. And she is a teacher and facilitator here in Denver, Colorado. But she's also an author, and I know that many of you are also familiar with her books. And if you're not, once again, I would put that plug in. Get yourself a holiday gift and get one of her books. I think they're available. In fact, I'm sure they're available on Amazon.com. I think that is where I've purchased at least one of them. And they're called Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness. Forgiveness offers everything I want, and forgiveness, the key to happiness. And here's the thing that she doesn't put in the title. They're very, very humorous books. They're easy to read. Well, they are, Susan. They're easy to read. And they're wonderful, what I would call little essays and maybe little vignettes. So you can read one, you know, you can read just a section of the book in like, you know, a couple of minutes as she talks about her life with A Course in Miracles and how she applies the principles on a daily basis. And like I said, the titles don't sound very humorous, but the books are very, very funny, very uplifting, very inspiring. And you just resonate to what she's talking about, because she's talking about everyday situations that most of us find ourselves in. So like I said, I would encourage you to treat yourself during the holiday season if you're A Course in Miracles student, or maybe even if you're not, maybe if you just want to some inspiration, you're looking for that kind of daily uplift, you know, that might be something you're interested in. So check out Susan Dugan's books on Amazon.com or whatever, you know, however you purchase books. So Susan, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you, C.A., and thank you for the very nice plug for the books. That was really sweet.
You're welcome. I mean, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that, maybe because it's December and not only holiday gifts, but, you know, I'm always looking for how am I going to shake up my routine or what am I going to do differently? And, of course, I think about that. And I've also been thinking, like, if I, you know, of course, I love just going to the course itself, and I love going to Ken Wapnick's books. But, you know, I also think I have benefited along the way from many other people's writings, including yours, where, you know, I can just make it a daily habit of reading something. And so I've been thinking about that, you know, what would 2018 look like? Or if I had the perfect book that I would just open every morning for 1 or 2 minutes, what would it be? And so your book just kind of popped into my mind. So I wanted to, I wanted to put that out there, because like I said, I think they're so funny. And that's, you know, when I want A Course in Miracles and I want humor, that's what I go to. I go to one of your books. And so thank you very much. So,
well, thank you. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, I mean, as you were saying that about the books and that it's a habit and of, you know, And it just sort of reminded me that the reason that I wrote those books is very similar to what we're going to be talking about today, which is the last lessons of the first part of the workbook and A Course in Miracles. Because the course is kind of unnerving. You think you've completed A Course in Miracles, and then you can move on to another spiritual text or something. But that's not what the course is saying. What it's saying is that everything that it's teaching us in the workbook and in the text is now to be sort of integrated for the rest of your life, you know, and lived, learned to live with this new inner teacher, Jesus as our teacher, that part of our mind that remembered to laugh at the tiny mad idea that we could be separate from our source, which is, from the Course's perspective, the cause of all problems, all suffering. you know, now we have to try to live this new form of forgiveness in our lives and apply it to our lives. And it's a difficult task. And, you know, my books were all about doing exactly that. Getting to the place that right here where we're going to talk about today at the end of the workbook. And then saying, okay, now I have to try to put this to work in my life, in my relationships. And, that first book, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, was really kind of my take on what the Course is saying. It's saying that there's this extraordinary form of forgiveness. It seems extraordinary because we didn't know about it, but that will correct, the way we look at everything, you know, everything that's happening in our lives will change. Will ask us to question every value that we hold and every reaction that arises, and you know, that seems to be as a result of something externally happening in our lives and in our relationships and in our world. And so the path of A Course in Miracles is really a going from the ego's taking everything very, very seriously. And you know, how our first reactions are always that we are innocent victims. We're being somehow attacked by the outside world, and that the reason we can't be peaceful and we can't, you know, get through our day without, having some kind of meltdown is because of something, someone or something outside us, something that happens to us. And what we're learning is that that's not true. And that we really do have a part of a mind that's outside all of this that we can go to, and a teacher within that mind of something different and a different way of looking and that way of looking is seeing that it's all made up. And we're not really we're not really being attacked all the time. And we can, you know, we can begin to take our dark imaginings of what's happening to us to that part of our mind and learn ultimately to smile again at the insanity of what we're doing. What we're doing to each other and what we're doing to, you know, which seems impossible when we're identified with the other teacher in our mind, which is the ego, and that's where we are most of the time. When we think we're a personal self, you know, in battle with everything else around us, which most of us feel all the time, you know, we're completely rooted in that dream of separation. But even there, we have a part of our mind we can take that, craziness to and learn and a different kind of response, a different kind of awareness, which the Course calls forgiveness, you know, calls forgiving our belief that the ego's thought system of one or the other is valid, is justified. And, you know, so this last lesson, which you pointed out, is repeated. And it is actually, I said earlier, I was wrong. I mean, it's at the very end of the workbook. It's lesson 365, but it is repeated for the last, week of the of the series of lessons, yearly lessons that we go through in the workbook, and almost as if to wean us off the course and get us used to the idea of you know, we're going to have to be on our own a little bit now, and really, you know, really taking this with us. Of course, we can go back to the workbook at any time. Of course, we have the text there, but you know, we're being encouraged to this is all about how we're not alone in this journey, and as we go through this throughout our day, each moment of each day is really a journey in which we're, you know, learning that we have a choice, and we have a different teacher, and that we're not alone anymore, and we have a new way that we can respond to things. And all that means is that we have to pay very close attention to how, to our reactions, to how we're feeling, and use those reactions, those mostly negative reactions, to feeling unfairly treated all the time and angry about something that's happening out there, use those as clues, as red flags that we need help and that we're wrong. And that's that constant questioning of the cause of our upset, is really the first and most important step of forgiveness. And, and, you know, that's what we're being asked to take to all of our days, all of our moments in our days. And it's not easy. You know?
Yeah.
It's really not easy. I mean, the reason that I wanted to do this, talk about this today was because I personally have felt this was a particularly difficult year. You know, not that, I mean, we're always trying to measure against past years. And, you know, I mean, it's always the last one you had probably that seems the worst or the best. But, you know, our world certainly seems very, very uncertain. And you know, on our personal micro worlds may seem very uncertain too. It's a rough, you know, it can be a very rough dream that we've imagined, but we are dreaming it, and we're trying to learn that, you know, we can take steps. We always have a choice in any moment to either root ourselves more deeply in that dream of deep divisiveness and attack and, you know, the horrible things that are happening here, or we can take another step toward awakening to the truth that we share that has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. And that doesn't mean that we deny what's going on in the world. It means that we look at it, but we look at it with our teacher who sees it very differently. And that will lead to us having a sense of compassion and a sense of not siding with this constant divisiveness that's going on. And, you know, of being able to see that all the players within these elaborate stories of victimization that we're weaving, you know, are hurting and suffering from the same idea of separation that I believe in when I'm identified with the ego. So, you know, we through that practice, we are finding a place of peace and stability within our mind that is, you know, that is really changing what we are. And, you know, the problem is that as we do that, we begin to, part of us is, you know, we're beginning to fall apart as individuals that are so defended. And of course, that's a scary thing to the ego. So we do need a teacher. We do need to lean on, our, you know, that loving presence in our mind, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and to recognize that there is an ego-free presence within me that's so much stronger than you know, what I think I am, and I don't have to do this alone, and I'm going home, regardless of the you know, the many failures that I have, which I also talk about a lot in my books. You know, my book is about my struggles with the course, how much we don't want to do this course. But nonetheless, even when we're stuck, even when we're resistant, you know, there's a sense, a growing sense of faith and trust that we're going home anyway, despite our fear. You know, there's a sort of bravery that begins to emerge on this path, and because we are bolstered by a strength so much greater, And we really cannot fail. It looks like everything is getting worse all the time in the dream. But there's also a part of our mind that's being strengthened through this practice that really sees that, that no matter what happens, what the Course saying is true. And we have these holy instants of that all the time. So I've talked and talked. So let me let you jump in here.
Well, no, I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, sitting at, I shouldn't say the feet of the master, but you just are such a good reminder to me and such a good teacher that I enjoy listening to you. But there are a couple of things that, I was thinking about while you were talking. And one of them is just a personal aside, and I don't even know where to go with it, but it's something that just happens to me that I think is interesting. And that is when I travel and I wake up in a hotel room or I wake up at a friend's house, I always know exactly where I am. But when I come back home, night after night after night, I'll wake up and I don't know where I am. And, you know, I had been traveling for about 3 weeks, and now I've been home for, I'd say, at least 2 weeks, and I'm still having, I mean, that's it. I woke up again last night, and I look around, and, I mean, I'm not scared, but I'm just going, where am I? And I don't know where I am. And, you know, maybe that, I mean, in some ways is my own psyche, because that is something I've been reading in A Course in Miracles recently, is you never left home. You never left home. And so, but that's it. It's almost as if home is the least recognizable place to me, you know? And that doesn't make, I mean, it really doesn't make sense, but it's really true that for whatever reason, it's home that I don't recognize. And, you know, even though I kind of go, okay, this looks kind of familiar, but what is this and where am I? And also I have two dogs and they both sleep on the bed with me. And so that's interesting too, because I'm so aware that there's living things on my bed, but I'm like, okay, is this a person? Who is this? What is this? What is this, you know, warmth, this energy, this lump? And it takes me a while to figure, you know, that I'm home and that these are my dogs. So I think, you know, maybe that is my own psyche just trying to teach me a lesson, you know, through that too, that, you know, yeah, you don't recognize home because you're always trying to make it someplace else. But the other thing, and I'm going to kind of weave this together, it's something I have really noticed in the last few weeks, and partially this is because of traveling, but it's also just in myself. And what I would call it is it's almost the phenomena of the 24/7 news cycle. And what I mean by that is, you know, years ago, at least when we were kids, when, I mean, I literally remember kind of when TV came on, you know, when TV became an issue or reality. And, you know, we didn't have this 24/7. You couldn't turn the TV on all hours of the day because it went off at night, you know? I mean, there was the 10:30 news and maybe it was a movie, but then it went off. But now we, you know, when you turn on the television, especially, you know, on a news program, they will talk about the same thing over and over and over, and they just have to fill the time. What I have been noticing, and once again, because I've been paying attention to certain portions of the Manual for Teachers that's talking about judging, is what I've recognized is how I have, and what I'm seeing around me, is this incessant need to talk about everything in terms of black and white, good and bad, ugly and beautiful. It's like I can't just describe something. It is like the constant 24/7. I have to evaluate, or somebody else has to evaluate something. And I have really, really noticed it, almost an inability just to let things be, or to just not even talk about them at all, that we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. We have to decide if it's good or bad. And it's really been so obvious to me lately that, and it's about silly things. You know, it's like, who cares if it's red or blue?
You know? Right, right.
Who cares if it's this or that? And yet, you know, and I mean, I just back off going, can I just be quiet? You know, can I just simply be quiet? Do I have to decide every single thing that comes into my vision? Because I'm not a newscaster getting paid to speak 24/7.
Right, right.
And yet, well, my mind, it is. It's just like, what do they call that? The monkey mind. You know, good, bad, ugly,
beautiful. Then, yeah, they do.
Soft, hot, cold. And it's like, I'm, you know, and just, I'm challenging myself. How can I just turn that off?
Well, you know, that up to your second part of what you said first, the remember that the whole ego strategy is to keep us mindless, right? And how do we become mindless? Well, we focus on stuff that has no meaning and try to make meaning out of it. And that's, I mean, that's what we're always doing. We're projecting that guilt that we feel, that we're unconscious of where it's coming from within, outside, and we're searching for something to pin it on, and we find it, right? Because we're dreaming. We're constantly projecting images out there too. And so there's no shortage of perpetrators.
No, there's not.
And we love, I mean, we're searching. I've become very aware also recently of just how much obsession there is in all of us to try to make meaning of our lives, to try to make meaning of the world, you know, of essentially something that has no meaning. I mean, it has only the meaning that we're giving it. And if we're identified as individuals, the meaning is one or the other. It's that duality that you're talking about. It will always be, you know, who's the guilty one? It's the search for who's the guilty one. And, you know, every day there's no with the 24 news cycle where we have new, you know, the latest star of guilt is rising, like, you know, actually, like, I don't know, 40, 50 times a day, it seems like on my news feed. And so, but of course, my perspective on who that would be and your perspective are very different from, and you know, other dreamers' perspectives. Sometimes the people that we consider the greatest victimizers are the heroes in someone else's dream. So it doesn't matter as long as you're keeping that, you know, meaning going on and that sense of duality going, that we really exist at God's expense, but it's not our fault, that this experiment in individuality went somewhere, you know. And look at all the evidence out there. But, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors from the Course's perspective. So, you know, our function as Course students is really to just watch ourselves become very involved in that, and taking sides in that, and trying to distance ourselves from the ones, you know, that we're identifying as the perpetrators, as the culprits, as the cause of you know, what, of the assault, or of terrorism, or of the harassment, or of the, you know, I mean, we certainly have all kinds of examples right now, of the hacking, whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, it's always, again, from the Course's perspective, trying to take it back. From the Course's perspective, we deal in a practical level only with the content of my own seeming mind, my own fragment of this, you know, decision-making mind that thinks it's an ego. And so I'm challenged constantly to challenge all of my, unkind thoughts, all of my judgments, and to question their validity. You know, it's not that they're bad, they're not sinful, but, you know, the Course says anger is never justified. Well, it's, we are going to get angry if we've identified with the ego, and everybody here that seems to be in a dream of bodies and believes their bodies is identified with the ego. So we don't have to blame ourselves for the fact that we're having these feelings and thoughts, but the practice is to question their validity. You know, they're not justified. And they're not justified by what we think they are. They're always, and only a symptom of the belief in separation in the mind and that desperate childish need that we all have to try to defend ourselves and to feel better. You know, nobody feels good here. Everybody feels guilty and everybody's trying to get off the hook somehow, you know, by blaming it on someone else and feeling relatively innocent. And so we're all doing that. It's not about, you know, a discussion about whether it's good or bad that we're doing that. And it doesn't mean that we don't, you know, support candidates that we believe are helping or not helping, but we can do it without venom. We can learn to do it without venom. We're not doing that yet, it doesn't seem, but it is possible to change the purpose of all of this to, as Ken Wapnick always said, to a classroom. in which we're learning, instead of the purpose being to feel more justified about my position and more, you know, that I am right and you are wrong, and I'm the much more, I'm sorry, I have a new phone. I don't know if I can use that. But I'm the less guilty one. You know, we can change the purpose to learning that instead I'm learning that I am actually innocent, and so are you. And that's the only lesson that's valuable here and that will bring us home. And so that brings me to what you were saying earlier, that sense of waking up and where am I? You know, we're all homeless here. I mean, everybody's homesick here. Everybody, because deep, buried deeply within us in our mind is the sense that we are bereft of our home. We've destroyed it. We can't, you know, we're not welcome home. Ever again for what we did to, but you know, to God. And it's a lie, but we believe it. And so, you know, there is a very disorienting sense, with this course, as you begin to kind of start questioning this, of a real like sense of like, where am I, you know? And I think we get in touch a little bit more and more as we work with this, with that kind of homeless sense. You know, there's a grief involved in this, and I think, and everybody suffers from it. It's just that we're always looking outside, constantly watching the projections and watching the ego's talk show hosts, and we're not ever listening to the still voice within that's saying, I want to go home, and so do you, and that's all we share, you know. And so the course is just asking us to kind of try to start catching ourselves and take a moment to see, to learn, you know, and be with that frightened child and allow us to be with our teacher when we're feeling like that and, you know, allow his comfort to his awareness that we're wrong, that we're safe, that, you know, that we are constantly loved and loving no matter what it looks like. And so is everyone else. I mean, the so is everyone else just follows from that. Once we've returned to the awareness of that we are loved and guiltless, it just automatically follows that so it has to include everyone, you know, right. Or any genuine moment in which we witness in our relationships a change of mind about someone else's guilt, or even an honest, deep questioning of it and an awareness that we are the same, you know, then we receive the gift of that awareness of innocence, the return to innocence, and a little sense, a little more faith that we're still welcome home, you know, mm-hmm. We're going home. And that's enormously comforting. That's the only comfort that we really all want here. And we really all have, you know, I mean, we all deserve. No one, nothing that anyone has ever done can prevent that from being, attainable. And, you know, we're wrong about the egos, and the ego is very theatrical lately, isn't it? You know?
Yes.
In terms of what can be happening. So anyway, I think that sense of waking up and not knowing where you are, you know, that's probably a healthy thing, CA. Yeah. Where the hell am I, right?
Yeah, really?
Because we don't know. Yeah.
Right.
We don't know.
Where am I and how did I get here?
Of, you know, perhaps just a metaphorical dawning of the idea that maybe I'm wrong, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the irony is, yes, I'm at home, but the truth is, no, this can't possibly be my home.
Not my real home, right?
This is not my home. This, you know, I wake up and I'm disoriented. Where am I? So.
Right. Who are these dogs?
Yeah, really? Or yeah,
why am I sleeping with dogs?
Well, and you know what also kind of amuses me is just the way my mind works, because I'm not scared. You know, I feel totally disoriented. I don't know where I am and I don't know who's on this bed, but I'm not scared.
Right.
So it's almost like my mind is going, okay, just give this a few minutes. You're going to figure this out and then you can decide whether or not to panic.
Right. Well, that's good that you're not, you know, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. You don't want to ever try to analyze it too much, but,
yeah.
But you know, it could be that and, you know, and if there's fear involved with it, then, you know, it's really the emotion that you want to pay attention to and the solution for any kind of fear or discomfort is always the same from the course's perspective, you know, that,
yeah.
I'm wrong about the cause of it and I have, and you've got this strength beside you, you know, you've got this teacher beside you and, you know, we might want to move to, reading some of those comforting passages.
Yes. In fact, I was going to say you had suggested this and so, yeah, let's read portions of it. Because, you know, once again, and we've talked about this before, I love to get stuck on the words because some of the portions of A Course in Miracle to me, it feels like honey just being poured out.
Yeah.
It feels soothing or like I'm pouring oil on my body, you know, just like it feels soothing and calming and wonderful. And yet I know we shouldn't get stuck in the words, but the words certainly are wonderful. And there are some wonderful phrases and words in this particular section.
Yeah, it's a very, very comforting section, and that's another reason I wanted to do it at the end of the year here, to kind of, you know, again with a seemingly difficult year is to kind of leave us with this message of the real hope that we have, and you know, is changing our mind and a teacher that is available 24/7 to help us do that and help us find where real comfort lies, and it's not here, you know.
That's right. So do you want to read the whole thing or where would you like to start?
Well, why don't you read the very first section, the lesson 365, because, and then we can sort of alternate and talk about, and we'll see, probably not the whole thing, but we'll read a good portion of it.
Okay. All right. This is lesson 361 through 365. This holy instant, what I give to you, be you in charge, for I would follow you. Certain that your direction gives me peace. And if I need a word to help me, he will give it to me. If I need a thought, that will he also give. And if I need but stillness and a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts I will receive of him. He is in charge of my request, and he will hear and answer me because he speaks for God, my Father, and his Holy Son.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really a prayer that we could repeat every day and every moment, you know, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I use this more than anything in the workbook.
Really?
On a practical level. Absolutely. Because when you're really in fear, when you're really angry, stuck, whatever, you're traveling, you know, and feeling lost or uncertain, it's just such a grounding kind of I don't know, the language and also what it's saying, that you're never alone, that, you know, I am not, my job, it reminds me that my job is only to recognize I'm wrong and I have a teacher that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I'm willing to just admit that, again and again and again, that, you know, in a moment of anxiety or of stress of whatever, that I have, that presence is there by my request.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're not, when we, I mean, early in our work with the Course, we're coming from many other spiritual paths perhaps, or just our experience in the world, and we're completely hooked on form, and we think that it's all about Jesus or Holy Spirit bringing us some kind of, you know, special words and special favor and, you know, that we can use it to get us out of really bad situations and things like that. And really, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that and that's where we start, but that's not, you know, that's impossible once you really understand the Course's metaphysics. The comfort that he's talking about, again, is working always at the level of the mind and will mean that no matter what's happening, I will have a sense of of love and support and peace. And, you know, my fear can be abated or comforted, because I will be identifying with this part of me that knows there's nothing to fear. There's nothing really, you know, that this was all just a mistake, and that my safety is guaranteed by God, which the Course tells us, because we have never left God. And so it's not, you know, it kind of brings me from my orientation of being in a body or thinking I'm a body to my orientation of knowing I'm a mind. And, you know, that's a very gradual process, but we have these wonderful holy instants, this holy instant at any moment that we're willing to do that, exactly what I'm saying, we can experience that aha, that relief and release, that, you know, I'm wrong, that I must be wrong about this, and my safety is not where I thought it was. And that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, that the fear goes away right away, or that I immediately feel better or anything like that. Sometimes not. But it always, for me, results in an awareness that I'm not alone. And I really think that's enormously comforting, you know, to really, really know that there is something maybe that you don't understand, that you can't see, but that is really there loving you all the time, no matter what, and that tells you you're safe no matter what, and is generally right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I want to interject here too, that in this particular paragraph, I think especially for those who maybe have not been studying A Course in Miracles, there's a lot of pronouns in here. You know, it's he right. will give it to you, ask of him, or God my Father, blah, you know, and I think it right. can be confusing, and
yes.
I would somewhat translate this into, because in fact I was having a discussion with somebody else yesterday about the idea of the Holy Spirit, and the idea of the Holy Spirit really, it, you know, is one of those terms that many, many different faiths and religions use. And the way I see it, I mean, I think generally maybe this is how it is used, but maybe specifically in A Course in Miracles, it, you know, you can call it your higher self. You can call it your inner guide and teacher. You can call it the memory of God. But it's what you're talking about. No matter what you call it, remembering that within you is a memory of yes. your divinity, of where you came from, of God. So you can call it what you want. You can visualize it as the Holy Spirit. You can think of it as Jesus. You can, whatever it is. But within all of us, there is a memory. There is yes. a buried, there is a voice. And we can always call on that. So whether or not whatever you want to call it, it's always there. And it's never silent, even though our own, you know, our own noise can cover it up. It's always there.
Right.
And if we just stop and remember, then that's it. That memory is always there and is going to tell us or teach us or guide us in the direction that we need to go.
Right.
Because, you know,
that's right.
And I do think of it as the Holy Spirit. But once again, I think it's easy to get trapped in, okay, is God the Son? Is God Christ? Is God Muhammad? Is
right.
God, who is it? Who is this God?
Yeah.
And you know, those are interesting discussions, but they won't get us any closer. You know, it's just remembering there is the voice within, the right. inner guide and teacher that's always there, and we can always go back to that.
And it's a memory. A memory is a great word to use. That's a word that Ken used a lot, uh-huh. the memory of that divinity within us. And a symbol, really. I mean, it's a symbol, and it's used interchangeably, but it's not the biblical kind of sense of any of this. It's just that ego-free, all-loving, all-inclusively loving presence that knows it's not separate, you know, that reflects the where we really are, what we really are.
Right.
And holds that light for us, and is always, that spark is, it cannot be extinguished. It's in everyone, whether you hear it or not, just as you're saying.
Right.
You know? But we have to actively ask to connect with it too, because we're unaware of it otherwise.
Right. Well, and I want to read the second paragraph of the epilogue. And I know that, you know, we probably should start with the first, but I'm recognizing with time we may run out. Okay. So, and it goes to what you were just saying. It says, you are as certain of arriving home as is the pathway of the sun laid down before it rises after it has set and in the half-lit hours in between. Indeed, your pathway is more certain still, for it cannot be possible to change the course of those whom God has called to him. Therefore, obey your will and follow him whom you accepted as your voice to speak of what you really want and really need. His is the voice for God and also yours. And thus, he speaks of freedom and of truth. And so, of course, there's so many different ideas here, but one is saying, you know, we think of the sun as being pretty darn set. It's, you know, it sets and it's going to come up tomorrow. It's on a path and it's not going to steer clear of that path. And he's telling us, but your path is even more certain than that. But the other idea here is this is your will. Ultimately, when you realize this, this isn't God's will for you. You have the same will. You share it.
Right.
You share it.
Right. The idea we were wrong that we, you know, the idea that we could make a separate will, a separate identity. We you know, that was just a passing fantasy that from the Course's perspective, you know, in truth was already solved, was already laughed at.
Right.
But we haven't caught up with that awareness yet. So, that's exactly right. But I mean, there is that whole idea of you are certain of arriving home. You know, because we are home, because we never left, you know.
That's right.
This is the journey without distance to the place we never left. And so, you know, that we can't understand, but we can understand what he's asking us to do, which is to just, again, challenge every unkind thought, you know, question every reaction, reach out to him in every moment of fear and anxiety and stress and anger. That we can do, you know, and that will bring us home. That's really our only function. Our part is very small in this, you know.
Yes.
So, and that's very reassuring too. I mean, it's very challenging, very insulting actually to the ego, but it's really challenging. I mean, it's really comforting.
Yes.
So, and challenging because we're resistant to it. We don't want, you know, we want to rely on our own devices, our own spiritual nature, right? As if. So, yeah. I mean, how do we have enough time to read a little bit more?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We have about 10 minutes, but okay. I just recognize we didn't have time to really read the whole thing. So yes, please, you know, please read something.
And I think the last couple paragraphs we can just read straight through without commenting. But
the next paragraph,
no more specific lessons are assigned, for there is no more need of them. Henceforth, hear but the voice for God and for yourself when you retire from the world to seek reality instead. He will direct your efforts, telling you exactly what to do, how to direct your mind, and when to come to him in silence, asking for his sure direction and his certain word. His is the word that God has given you. His is the word you chose to be your own. And, you know, the idea that no more specific lessons are assigned is what I was talking about at the beginning, that this is, you know, what we now take. All our lessons are whatever upsets us during our day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our curriculum. Whatever, watching my judgments, watching my reactions, paying attention, And questioning, turning to my teacher, not turning them over to my teacher to take away, you know, although we would like that to happen. That's a magical childhood thing, you know, but we're trying to grow up with this. We're trying to actually awaken from this dream. So really just asking to look at it, to see it differently, to see this as you do. To change my mind, to even entertain the possibility that I'm wrong about why I'm upset, that it's not this figure I'm seeing on the news, it's not this incident I just read about on my phone, you know, it's not what's happening, this illness that's affecting me or someone I love, it's not the the, you know, I just flew back from California recently again from the foundation. The most turbulent flight I've ever experienced coming into that. But it's not that, you know, that's not really why I'm freaking out, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's just to entertain that possibility. That's the, you know, the lessons are just the practice now. And that reaps enormous, ordinary, extraordinary benefits, as we were saying earlier, you know? And then, but also, you know, just not to take it literally, we're not really asking for specific advice, although sometimes in our fear, that's what we want, you know, land the damn plane.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not above asking for that when I'm really freaking out. And we're not supposed to feel guilty about doing that. We think we're bodies, you know?
Right.
But what we're really asking for is to learn that we're not subject constantly to these turbulent winds of the world, you know, which is the state we're in all the time.
Yes.
So should we just alternate?
We have a few more minutes. So go ahead. You want me to?
I'll read the next paragraph and then, or you read the next paragraph. We'll just alternate. How about that?
Okay. So the next one is the one that starts, and now I place you.
And now I place you in his hands. Yeah.
Okay. And now I place you in his hands to be his faithful follower with him as guide through every difficulty and all pain that you may think is real. Nor will he give you pleasures that will pass away, for he gives only the eternal and the good. Let him prepare you further. He has earned your trust by speaking daily to you of your father and your brother and yourself. He will continue. Now you walk with him as certain as is he of where you go, as sure as he of how you should proceed, and confident as he is of the goal and of your safe arrival at the end.
And isn't that so reassuring that we are on this journey, but we're not alone again. We have his light with us to help us dispel the darkness, to let us see, you know, as we put one foot fearfully in front of the other, to see right in front of us and, you know, through what is seeming, you know, the monsters that seem to be in the path, right?
Right.
And illuminating that we're wrong, you know, again and again. So the next paragraph is, the end is certain and the means as well. To this we say amen. You will be told exactly what God wills for you each time there is a choice to make. And he will speak for God and for yourself, thus making sure that hell will claim you not, and that each choice you make brings heaven nearer to your reach. And so we walk with him from this time on and turn to him for guidance and for peace and sure direction. Joy attends our way, for we go homeward to an open door which God has held unclosed to welcome us. And that's just, you know, I mean, that's that idea of going home again, where we're just, you know, we are so welcome back. We're already there. We don't know it. We don't have to know that. But it's very comforting in this state we think we're in to know that the door is open, that God is, you know, has open arms for us, not unlike what we believe. And also that all we have to do is change our mind. Again, there's only two choices. I have two teachers in my mind. When I catch myself siding with the egos, one or the other, I have a choice to make, and I can always choose to remember that that's not what I really am. There's a different choice I can make right now that will lead me to peace, to going home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'll read the last one.
Yeah.
We trust our ways to him and say amen. In peace, we will continue in his way and trust all things to him. In confidence, we wait his answers as we ask his will in everything we do. He loves God's son as we would love him, and he teaches us how to behold him through his eyes and love him as he does. You do not walk alone. God's angels hover near and all about. His love surrounds you, and of this be sure, that I will never leave you comfortless. So there you have it.
There you have it.
There you have it. And
yeah.
We've got about 4 minutes to wrap up the show. So do you want to make some ending comments or make any announcements?
Well, I just think, you know, in terms of an ending comment, as we're about to, if you haven't already launched into the holiday season, you know, we're about to conclude the year, and the holidays can be a very stressful time for people. There's a lot, you know, there's increased demands on everybody. There's financial demands. There's demands on our time. You know, we sometimes lose sight of what the holidays are all about. The course has a very anchoring idea of what the holidays are all about, which it talks about at the end of chapter 15 in the text. And that is, you know, that really making our rededicating ourselves to looking at our lives as a classroom and learning a new form of forgiveness and reminding ourselves that that's a purpose that is unshaken and will, regardless of sometimes how difficult and challenging it seems here in the dream, will lead us home, and that these little steps we take in asking to see our brothers and ourselves differently and learning to see each other the same. I mean, the last quote of that is this year, what is it? Make this year different by making it all the same. Making,
yes,
you know, seeing that we are all the same and no matter, you know, not excluding anything from this practice. No matter what arises, even if we're not willing to accept the answer, we can at least remind ourselves that maybe I'm wrong about why I'm really angry right now. And I would like to see this differently. I would even like to see this differently, because I know in the past when I've had those shifts, it has brought me peace. And peace is really all I'm looking for, peace and the memory that that I'm welcome home, that I'm innocent and I'm loved, and I'm not part of all of the divisiveness that I see, and neither is anyone else.
That's right. So, Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And, oh, as always, just a wonderful conversation. And for those of you who are listening, thank you for being here. And for those in the chat room, too, I did just post Susan's website, which is www.forayasinforgiveness.com. And so that's forays as in F-O-R-A-Y-S, but it's all one word, forayasinforgiveness.com. I would also remind you that you can find wonderful things at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is www.facim, which is the organization that Susan was actually just referring to. They have not only online courses, you know, you can sit in your own home and participate in courses. You can actually go there and participate in courses, but they have all kinds of both free and, you know, things that you can find on their website, as well as things to purchase, like, you know, audio cassette tapes and digital downloads and books, et cetera, et cetera. So I would also encourage you to check out that as well, and I'll post that in the chat room. So any ending announcements, Susan, that you'd like to make before we close the show today?
I don't think so. I think that's it. You gave the plug I always like to give for Foundation for A Course in Miracles, and yeah, they still have wonderful, wonderful, you know, there's such a volume of wealth of material that can produced over the years and is just amazing. So I would highly encourage people to check out the website and avail themselves of those learning tools.
Okay. All right. Well, Susan, thanks for being here. And Scott Weaver, thank you very much for being our producer today. And thanks to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room. And I hope that you will keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio, because we have lots of live programming coming up. And I hope you have a great week. And also just a plug that we're having a 3-day sale on 1-2 Listen, because there's so much going on this first week of December. We just have all kinds of energetic shifts, or at least that's how it would appear in the astrology world. So please join me. You know, it's always something, right?
More curriculum.
It's all the same, even if it's all
it's
new.
It's all the same, yep.
Same time. So thanks so much for being here today. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest Susan Dugan here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.